This is the Catch Up with Lisa and Pete.
We're one step closer to same-sex marriage being legal in Australia. The West's political editor, Sarah Martin, joined us to find out when it should all go through.
Our great friend, Rob Broadfield, joined us for the last time in 2017, so we thought we had better talk turkey, not just turkey, all Christmas food, really.
And it looks like a town in New South Wales might be getting a big Milo tin erected. We asked you to put on your thinking cap and tell us what big thing Perth needs. Your answers blew us away. Well done, Perth.
Catch up with Lisa and Pete at a time that suits your schedule and create a schedule that suits you with Southern Plus Health and Wellness Care at Home. This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth on Mix 94.5.
One step closer as the same-sex marriage bill has passed the Senate with a day to spare before House of Reps resumes. For more on this, we're joined by the political editor of The West, Sarah Martin. Hello.
G'day. How you going?
Good, Sarah. Now, this is good news. What happens next? Because I think the last time we spoke, they hadn't decided to cancel a period of the House of Representatives.
So, look, it may sort of slow things down by a day or so. If the House was sitting, it's possible that the legislation could have gone straight to the House of Reps today or tomorrow. But they're back on Monday. So, basically, this bill will go down to the House of Reps. MPs will then have a chance to speak on the bill, and then there is the possibility that some other amendments could be proposed. But given the way amendments went in the Senate, none of the changes that some of the Conservatives wanted to see tacked onto the bill were successful. They were pretty resoundingly defeated, in fact. And so you would expect pretty much the same situation in the House of Reps, with all parties sort of joining to ensure that this passes into law following the popular vote.
Sarah, what were some of those changes that they did want to make to the bill?
I think some of the more extreme ones were things like allowing a baker or a florist to refuse to provide services to the same-sex couples.
You know what? They can't, to the detriment of their own business, go ahead.
Yeah,
if you want to be an idiot like that, fine.
Isn't it the dumbest thing you've ever heard?
The Bakers Association basically said, I don't think those bakers exist. Like, bakers love baking cakes. We want to make cakes for everyone.
So, and I mean, if they do, it really doesn't matter. But, oh, gosh.
So, look, they didn't get support. There were some other changes proposed for things like religious and parental freedoms. Now, a lot of that has sort of been, the can sort of been kicked along the road. There's going to be a separate inquiry looking at religious freedoms that's going to report back in March next year. So some of those issues will be dealt with through that process. But in the end, the Senate decided that, you know, really the vote meant that legislation allowing same-sex couples to marry was needed sort of quickly, and it looks like that's all on track to pass before Christmas.
Right. So it came down to 43 to 12, which is wonderful. And then there were three other senators that were in the chamber but didn't cast a vote. One of them was Pauline Hanson. Why would they not cast a vote? Is that some kind of protest, or what would be behind that?
There are about 16 senators who did not vote. Now, some of them abstained.
Okay.
Some Conservatives have said they did so because while they didn't want to defy the popular vote and the will of the people, they weren't satisfied with the religious protection included in the bill, so therefore they could not support it. Now, this has sort of been particularly interesting when the view of the MP or senator is at odds with how people voted in their various electorates or indeed states.
Didn't Andrew Hastie take that line here at the seat of Canning?
Yes, that's right. So Andrew Hastie has said he will vote when amendments are put forward, but he will abstain, I think he said abstain, from voting in support of the bill, even though his seat did support same-sex marriage.
I saw that debate with the delightful Jason Clare, the most handsome man in politics, who said, and see, I watch anything.
We can have that discussion another time.
I know. I watch anything when his face pops up, and he is actually, it was his electorate was the biggest no in the country, and he was saying that he would be voting yes, however.
Yeah.
And I loved him even more.
But it is a really interesting one, and that's sort of seen as a political opportunity for some of the other parties to go in there at the next election and say, hey, you know, Jason Clare, as handsome as he is, he didn't reflect, you know, what you wanted him to do in Parliament.
All right, so by Christmas, It looks like this is going to happen, bottom line.
Yeah, it looks like it'll pass the House next week. It then needs royal assent from the Governor-General. That could happen within a matter of days. And then same-sex couples, just like heterosexual couples, need to give 30 days' notice of their intent to marry. So there could be ceremonies happening in mid-January. That would be the sort of earliest possible time. But look, it doesn't look like there's going to be any delay to getting the legislation passed.
Sarah Martin, political editor of The West. A pleasure as always. Thanks for breaking it down. And we'll catch you soon for Politician Hot or Not.
Hey!
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Mr. Rob Broadfield, our man about food, about town, and the editor of the Good Food Guide at the West Australian. Always a pleasure, good sir.
Great to see you two again.
And you.
And we're into the Christmas spirit almost, aren't we?
It's... Oh, the parties are underway.
My tree's gone up already.
Already. Over the weekend, a whole bunch of people in my area must have gone to Red Dot, because when I drove home on Monday night, it was like beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Oh, really?
As they say, yes.
Look, I'm all for it. My wife works in retail shopping centre marketing. So I think for her, considering that they've been around for the past 3 months, she doesn't think it's a big deal that she's been banging on about wanting to put it up the last couple of weeks. But I've been like, steady.
Well, when you've got a kid, though, you know, and Amila's going to enjoy Christmas more this year. She's starting to get to that age. I'd probably have it up in August. I'd be so excited.
Just ready to go.
It's not the same when you live on your own.
Lisa.
Ziggy puts her little Christmas hat on.
You can come round and look at my tree.
All right, thank you.
Mate, let's talk Chrissy Foods.
Yes. Well, interestingly, yesterday I was in Sydney with the Australian Pork Limited people for the launch of their Christmas ham season, the best of the best from around Australia, competing in the Ham of the Year award.
Ham of the Year.
I thought you'd win that.
I was nominated.
Anyway, so seriously, all the best ham makers, producers, butchers was won by a little butcher shop in Pingelly.
Yes.
The national award.
That's right, it was too.
What set this ham apart from all of the other hams?
Well, the judges went on about things like, you know, balance and taste and texture and fat content and all that sort of stuff.
Must go back to a happy pig.
Berkshire pigs from Corrigan, so they're grass-fed, slaughtered organically in the sense that, you know, they're not stressed.
Yes.
Happy pig's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Absolute big deal. No
hormones. Pig in mud. Yes, there you go.
Was that mud, was it? Anyway, so do you know Western Australia, we buy more pork than we do beef now?
Christmas is the one time of year where I enjoy ham and pork.
Pork's big this year, and it's been big in previous years, but the ham thing and even the shoulders of roast pork with the crackling.
Yum.
This year. Prawns are astronomical in cost this year for the first time in over a decade. The prices have gone through the roof because of the white spot epidemic in the East Coast. So that's decimated the prawn populations around Australia, except here in WA, but the smart prawn operators here are sending all their prawns east to get a better price for it. So the prawns are going to be a high cost item this year.
I'm hearing Cray's are going to have a bumper year this year in terms of stock.
Yes.
Really?
So it should keep the price down.
I've heard that
Christmas
too.
Christmas be Cray.
You want to know where to go for Christmas?
Where?
I reckon if you want to go out for Christmas, and more people are doing it.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
The big hotels. Doesn't matter which one you are. I'm pretty Catholic about which hotels are the best ones, but certainly places like Crown, Hyatt, you know, the Hilton. Those sort of places always do a rip-roaring trade. They make a lot of money out of it too. Yeah. It's great fun. I took my aged mother to one of those once and she had a ball.
Good.
Because she wasn't cooking.
She didn't have to cook.
Stay overnight.
Not with my mother.
Well. There is that option.
Well, jeez. That's all right, mate. You can leave her at one of the pokies in the corner.
That's right.
No, you can't do that.
No, you can't.
You just prop her up with a whole bucket of 20 cent coins.
Say what?
See you in the morning, mum.
On that note, mate, Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Merry
Christmas. Same to you guys.
And it's been a fantastic year. Thank you so much for all of the worldly information you've brought our way in terms of food.
My pleasure.
How are we going to cope for the next couple of months?
I know.
But we're nowhere to eat.
We will see you in the new year on this show. So thank you.
Thanks so much, guys.
We're talking about the big thing that Perth should have.
Yeah, because you know, you got your big pineapple and your big prawn and your big banana and things around the place. And now on the New South Wales coast, they want to get a big Milo tin.
Milo tin.
The big tin.
Milo, would love that.
The big Milo.
Joanna in Henleybrook, what big thing should Perth have?
Well, I love the idea of Lisa's with the big swan. Mm. And moving forward from that, have the wingspan open. So have it from maybe, like you say, Elizabeth Quay to perhaps South Perth, and have it as a pedestrian bridge and call it the Swan Bridge.
Oh, how! But that's fantastic because
going over the Swan River,
and we're so good at building a bridge in this town. It's always on time and under budget. Yeah,
of course. Yeah. I'll have a chat with Marky, shall I?
Okay.
That is a great idea, though, Joanna. Well done.
I like it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Because it's practical as well.
Yeah, it is.
Amy and Mandra, what big thing should Perth have?
So I have a couple of suggestions.
Good.
Okay. A giant crab in Mandra. Oh,
of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
A giant wine bottle in Margaret River.
Funnily, I suggested the same thing, Amy. Well, you could just tap it. Yeah. Yeah.
And my last suggestion would be a giant fat cat. To represent the fact that we have the largest grossing telethon in the world.
Oh, I love the idea of a giant fat cat.
That is a ripper.
Yes.
Yeah. Where would you put them? Where would you put the giant fat cat, Amy?
Oh, bit of a difficult one, but probably somewhere near the convention centre.
Well, I guess so.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's a very good one. Thanks, Amy.
Another tourist attraction near Elizabeth Quay.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Good ones. One more here from Dave in Mandra.
Hi,
Dave. What big thing should Perth have?
Well, I think it's going to be the most Perth thing ever.
Yeah?
Two giant cars trying to merge onto the street.
Well done, mate. Well
that
done.
That is very good.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5. Catch up with Lisa and Pete at a time that suits your schedule and create a schedule that suits you with Southern Plus Health and Wellness Care at Home.